turning this over very soon to Ann Elliott. She has a website, which is www.annelliott.com. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend visiting Ann's site. She's a great source of inspiration. Ann is an author and a speaker who loves to teach women, teenagers, and children, and to dig into God's Word. Her experience ranges from teaching individuals and small group Bible studies in the local church to speak at ladies' retreats and conferences. She has counseled unwed mothers, discipled new believers, and mentored newlyweds, as well as challenged retirees. Of course, none of these things happen on a normal, typical day. Her typical day is more likely to include laundry, dishes, changing diapers, walking the dog, talking on the phone, homeschooling, and the ever-popular surfing the net. Ann attended Baptist Bible College of Pennsylvania and Liberty University, majoring in Bible and women's ministries. She has extensive training in theology, biblical counseling, educational psychology, and music. Currently living in southern Iowa, she is the wife of a public school counselor and has 6 children. She enjoys homeschooling, and she also is actively involved in her local church. Her hobbies include playing the piano and reading. Her family and friends tease her about the stacks of books she lugs around. She loves to experiment in the kitchen and garden, but she freely admits to her share of burned recipes and dead plants. Ann Elliott has talked to women across the country, in person and via the internet, and she has her finger on the heartbeat of Christian women. Her goal is to convince women that they can all be experts simply by adding the Word of God to their lives. Today, Ann is going to be speaking with us about using the Bible as your primary textbook. We know that God's Word says we're to impress His commands on our children by talking about them when we sit, walk, lie down, and get up. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Well, that's all the time. So we're supposed to be doing this constantly and consistently. What better tool can we have than homeschooling to do these things? But how often our good intentions are sidetracked by necessities like school, chores, and schedules? Wouldn't it be nice if we could use the Bible as our primary textbook so that all our conversations and actions centered around God's Word? In this session, Ann will try to make this practical. She will be talking about how to use the Bible for all subjects, including reading, grammar, math, history, science, and everything in between. She'll also be talking about how to apply the Bible with our children in every hour of the day. Before I turn this over to Ann, let's just meet for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon. We thank you for the opportunity that the Amys have given us to be able to do this conference, to be able to meet together, to use the internet for your glory. And we ask that you be with Ann as she spreads her message of inspiration and encouragement to us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. And now I'd like to turn it over to Miss Ann Elliott.
Thank you, Leslie. Thanks for that introduction. It is such a privilege to be with all of you today, and I'm hoping this really will be a practical session for all of you, filled with things that you can start applying right now in your home and in your teaching, no matter what curriculum you use or what your teaching style is. Now, I have some reminders for you. Hopefully, you can see on your screen right now. You can get the handout at Heart of the Matters Conference website. If you can't find it there, feel free to hop on over to my website, and I've got it there as well. It's the same thing both places. If you do go to my website, I've got a lot of letters in my name. Just put every letter possible. Ann has 2 N's and an E, and Elliott has 2 L's and 2 T's. Just if you think it's there, it is. So it's annelliott.com/hotm.pdf. Okay, my handout for today's session is a little different than what you're going to see on your screen. and it will be a handy reference for you later when you want to find a website or a book that I might recommend today, or you want to remember a verse I quote. I'm going to try to pack as much information as possible into this hour, so hopefully you'll find the handout useful. And remember, I would love to answer your questions at the end. So if you have a question as I go along, just type it right into the chat box. I'm not looking right now, but if you're afraid you're going to forget it, just go ahead and put it in there. I know if I don't write something down right away, it's gone in no time. So just put the word question in right before what you want to ask, and we'll see it when we scroll down at the end. And who knows, you might get some good discussion going, too, while I'm talking. So I'm going to start here. I'm not used to the technology, so hopefully I don't go too slow on you. But I want to start by reviewing God's prescription for parenting. Since we are so much more than just our children's teachers, we have been given by God Himself the responsibility of training up the next generation of believers and warriors for Him. Wow. However, God never leaves us with a job without telling us how to do that job. So let's take a look at God's instructions given to us in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." The first job we have as mothers and fathers is to love our God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our strength. These commands are to be on our hearts. Everything that we teach our children has to be on our heart first. Now, we've heard people say, "Do as I say, not as I do," okay? But of course, we know that doesn't work in real life. Our children will copy our actions, but they might be totally disregarding our words. In fact, if our words and our actions don't match each other, our children will end up frustrated, discouraged, even rebellious. And this is why God says that first things must be first. We have to develop a loving and personal relationship with our God that includes consistent daily obedience to His commands. His commands should be our delight, our passion, our consuming drive. And when our actions match our passions, our kids will notice and they'll start to copy that passion in their own lives. Next, God says if we want to impress His commands on our children, we need to talk about them all the time. God graciously tells us exactly what He means by that. You talk about God's word when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up. Aren't you glad we women have the gift of gab? Because that's pretty much all the time. Toward the end of the session, I'm planning to give you some practical ideas on how to do this, but really, it just comes down to carrying on a running conversation with your kids about God all day long. Now, it does take a little while to get into the habit of remembering to talk about God in our conversations, but be brave. The more you do it, really, the easier it gets. Now, finally, God says to display His commands. He says to tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your forehead, write them on the door frames of your houses, and write them on your gates. Now, after the Jewish people were sent away into captivity for 70 years into Babylon, and they were finally able to return to their homeland of Israel, they decided to take God's commands seriously this time, including this one. They didn't want to go into captivity again. So they made these little things called phylacteries. They were little boxes that they literally tied to their hands and forehead, and they made other boxes that attached to the doors of their homes. And every time they would enter or leave the house, they would kiss the box, and this box would contain a few verses out of the Torah. And while this is fine, I don't get the impression that this is the heart of what God was commanding here. What does it mean to tie God's commands as symbols on your hands? Our hands represent our actions, our doings, our work. Our hands are always visible in front of us, and we use our hands to accomplish everything we do. I'm talking with my hands right now. You just can't see it, but my hands are visible in front of me. So God's word needs to be looked at every day, to be acted on immediately, and to be easily accessible, just like your hands are. Maybe you could display Bible verses in every single room of your home. You can do some creative and beautiful decorating, but be sure to place these verses in strategic places, like the bathroom, where you have captive little eyes, or over the kitchen sink. Keep a copy of the Bible on your coffee table, on your dining room table, on your bedside tables, in your purse, in your car, on your iPhone, in your MP3 player, on your computer browser, on your desk, on the covers of your homeschooling binders. Make it so easily accessible that it is as obvious as your own hands are to your eyes, and that you cannot help but think about God all through your day. Now, what does it mean to bind them on your forehead? I think it's talking about the thinking that goes on in our foreheads, and it reminds me that we need to be teaching our children to memorize Scripture. Now, how do you memorize Scripture? You simply repeat it over and over again, many, many times. Now, I like to write out verses to memorize on 3x5 cards, even those packs of spiral-bound cards, and leave those cards on my dining room table or by my kitchen sink. And if we say the verse together as a family at every meal, in no time at all, we've all got it memorized. It's really easy. I've also been known to print out passages to memorize on, 8.5x11 piece of paper, such as 1 Corinthians 13 or Psalm 1. And I slip the paper into a plastic sheet protector and hang it in the bathroom. Again, their captive audience is in there. What does it mean to write them on the door frames of your houses? I think it means exactly what it says. Write the verses literally on the walls of your house, where you go in and where you come out. If you're handy with a paintbrush or a stencil and you own your home, you could paint them on. I'm better with a computer and a printer, so I like to print them out in a nice font, and then my husband will find frames for them for next to nothing at garage sales or thrift shops, and this is a great way to decorate our home. What does it mean to tie them on your, or write them on your gates? Well, your gates are the parts of your home that are visible to your neighbors. How can you decorate the outside of your home to remind you of God's Word? How could even the flowers in the yard or the vegetables that are growing in your garden spark conversations about God's creation with your own children as well as with neighborhood children? What can you learn about God from a bumblebee when you see it? What could you talk about God's creation when you see a rock? Be original in the artwork you include on your, in your yards and in your homes so that conversations about God happen naturally. For instance, I have a friend who hung beautiful brass butterflies on the outside wall of her house so that passersby would comment on them. And she then used those decorating conversations to tell how a butterfly reminded her of new life in Christ, and she could easily share the gospel with them. I just think that was such a good example. Now, these verses give us God's prescription for parenting, but today's topic is specifically, how can I use the Bible as my primary textbook for homeschooling? This is something that I've only started thinking about recently. As you all know, curriculum can start to stack up in our homes, especially if you've been homeschooling for 8 years, as our family has. We're going to be teaching 5 grades this year, not counting the preschoolers. So I can start to feel a little tense with the piles of books and supplies that are piling up in my office this time of the year. Even worse, however, is the possibility that my good intentions to homeschool my kids so that they develop close and strong walks with God and become witnesses for Him in the world, these can get lost in the everyday stuff of homeschool, like assignments and workbooks and chores and schedules and activities and what all. Wouldn't it be nice if we could use the Bible as our primary textbook so that all our conversations and actions centered around God's Word? It would be great, wouldn't it? But how? Where do you start? So earlier this year, I opened up an Excel document on my computer. Now you know what a geek I am. And I listed all our subjects and planned the textbooks out that we were going to use for the coming school year. And I started to brainstorm how I could just use the Bible instead. How could I simplify? Now, I know I could make my own curriculum just from God's Word. Now that I've been researching this more, I realize it's totally possible, and all you creative moms out there are just as capable. I'd love to keep working on this topic. Maybe I can release some teaching plans through my website and School Place during the next school year, but you know what? That's a dream, and I probably won't have time to make that a reality. But in our family's case, we had another problem. We had already purchased quite a bit of curriculum for the coming school year, mostly because we buy our curriculum with our income tax refund each spring. And I don't like the idea of not using something I've spent good money for, so I've been asking, is it still possible to use the Bible as my primary textbook? In addition, I'm really busy. In the last few months, we moved from Iowa to Minnesota. Sorry, I forgot to update my website. And I'm now a pastor's wife. I'm homeschooling and training our 6 kids. I'm pregnant with another one, and I'm going to have the months this year of having a new baby in the house, as well as running an online business. And ready-made curriculum lays things out for me and helps me keep my head afloat, and I'm sure it's helpful for you in that same way, too. So let's look at how to use the Bible as our primary textbook, subject by subject, in a practical way, and let me give you some of the ideas that our family came up with. First, let's talk about teaching the Bible, as in the school subject Bible. I think it's great to be intentional about teaching the Bible. And in our home, this is our non-negotiable. It's the first subject in our day, and here are some ideas that we have. First, read it aloud. And now, it might seem obvious that the Bible should be the primary textbook for teaching the Bible, but so often, curriculum, character studies, good story books, they become our main tools, and we forget to open the Bible. So consider reading directly from your Bible with your children every day. A logical place to start is at the beginning. Open up in Genesis and just start to read. And this will form a solid biblical foundation for your family, but it's also a solid historical, scientific, and worldview foundation as well. Second, teach your children to use their own Bibles. After all, your point is to teach them to grow up and be independent of you someday. So show them how to find passages in their Bibles. Help them learn to read with expression. Help them look up words that might be unfamiliar to them. Teach them the books of the Bible by memory so they can find things quickly, and you can even make a game out of this. Third, be sure to discuss the Bible with your children as you're reading it together. Remember what God's prescription for parenting says? Talk about it. That is so important. You don't need anyone's curriculum or help. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And if He brings a topic up to your memory, dig in with your kids. Your kids are going to love this discussion. And you know that the Holy Spirit will be your teacher, and He'll be there guiding you every day. Fourth, we've already talked about memorization, but be sure to be intentional about memorizing portions of the Bible with your children. Plan out a list of verses and passages in the summertime, and plan when you're going to learn what, or you might not do it. Have extra verses planned so that your fast memorizers could earn extra rewards maybe for learning more. And finally, help your kids learn to take notes from God's Word. Start with picture journaling, making timelines, writing down chapter headings and book themes, and otherwise creating notebooks as they read. And these will be priceless to your kids as they grow older, and the act of writing it down will help them remember it. I really like the website notebookingpages.com. She has some free Bible study downloads here, and she also has some great pages for purchase. If you're not creative or you're lacking some time, you'll love her resources. We also have a website that includes a Bible reading plan and ways to use the Bible every day, discussion topics, memory verse suggestions, journaling ideas, if you need a plan to get you started. Our curriculum allows your whole family to study together at one time, which should save you a lot of time. And our website is homeschoolingbible.com. But again, just open up God's Word and start in Genesis chapter 1 and just read. That's all you need. Now, could you really use the Bible to teach other subjects, like how to teach your little ones to read? Absolutely. In fact, in the early years of our country here in the United States, many settlers only owned one or two books, and you can be sure that one of them was their Bible. Many, many early leaders of our country learned to read by simply sounding out the words of Genesis 1, sitting next to their mothers, and you can do it too. The most important thing to remember when teaching a child to read is to be consistent. Your child needs interaction with letters and their sounds every day so she doesn't forget what she learned before. And I find that difficult to be consistent when I have a house full of kids and many responsibilities. So I have to write on my lesson plans, do it every day. It's smart to plan about 45 minutes a day for reading instruction. Maybe you won't need that much, but that's how long it takes me. I spend the first half hour reading with my child and to my child. Now, you could open up Genesis 1 and just put your finger under the words and read very slowly so they can follow along. When you see an easy word, stop and help your child sound that word out. And as she gains confidence, let her try to finish the last few words of the verse and then begin reading occasional verses all on her own. And in no time at all, you'll be switching back and forth, and both of you will be reading together, and eventually she'll take over and be able to read. Now, follow up this reading time with some active phonics instruction. I'm going to show you a website of one of my favorite phonics methods. It's called All About Spelling. It teaches what they call phonograms. And if you've ever heard of the Spalding method or Spell to Write and Read, you'll realize that All About Spelling is a very similar approach. I like it because it's hands-on. It has fun manipulatives that your child can put her hands on, and my kids like that. It's scripted, so I can just pick it up in the morning and use it with hardly any advanced preparation. That's important to me. Another good resource is the book Handbook for Reading. I'm waiting for it to come up on my screen here. And it's published by abeccabook.com. Now, this book is nice because it contains word lists and families of word sounds, and they're easy for your child to practice for just a few minutes a day. And then, of course, you probably all heard about the book Teach Your Child to Read in 100 Easy Lessons, and this is a great, simple method for mom. Any of the lessons in this book could be accomplished in about 10 minutes a day with your child. So finish out your reading instruction time with the phonics instruction and then a few sentences of reading from a good reader, such as maybe the readers published by Abecca or the Bob books, I love those, or Dr. Seuss, or the Pathway Readers that Rod and Staff publishes. And as you read from the Bible each day, choose a version that will be easy for your child to read from. Now, common choices are the King James Version because it's familiar to us moms, the New International Version, and more recently, the New International Reader's Version, and I have this one up on the screen. As you can see, this version is specifically designed for young readers. For instance, if I look here at verse 6, God said, "Let there be a huge space between the waters," and you can see how it makes it simple for the child, and there are lots of words that they could read on their own and words that you're going to need to help them with as you practice. Okay. You know, as your child progresses through reading, you just need to remember to be consistent. Daily practice really is the key. And if your child hits a tough spot, and most of them do a few times, don't worry about it. Just slow down, read to her for a few weeks, and let her grow up a little. You'd be surprised. In no time at all, they'll have it down. Okay, how do we teach handwriting from the Bible? This is another easy one. Copy work. I'm sure you've heard of it before, but in case you haven't, it just means that you copy things straight from the Bible. In the first few grades, have your child copy letters, the phonograms, then words, then short sentences into his own notebook. Let him decorate the pages. And as he progresses in his skills, have him copy entire verses and then entire paragraphs and short chapters or psalms. You'll eventually move on to selections that he enjoyed from his daily reading that he gets to pick, like poetry from the Psalms or Proverbs, or just about anything else becomes fair game. I have on your handout a website called Cursive First, and I have found that the website has changed, so I'm putting it up here. You'll notice it's swrtraining.com. It's because it comes from Spell to Write and Read. So swrtraining.com. Begin by teaching proper letter formation. Maybe even go outside with a stick in the dirt or in a shallow pan that's filled with cornmeal. And always relate the phonic sounds they are learning with the letters that they are learning to write. Now, I really also like some software that's put out by startwrite.com. You can make your own worksheets using their software, which is great when you want to use the Bible as your primary textbook. This lets you choose from a variety of handwriting styles, such as manuscript, old-fashioned cursive, italic, and it's available at startwrite.com, and the write is W-R-I-T-E. Okay, help your students choose favorite passages that they want to add to their notebook. Remember in the Old Testament, the kings were told to copy God's law by hand and keep this copy with them. That's in Deuteronomy 17, 18. And this is an excellent idea for training your little princes and princesses too. It's a great idea to have them memorize some of their favorite passages, and copying them will certainly help them commit them to memory. Okay, now, what about grammar? I think I'm getting into harder subjects now. Grammar sounds impossible to most of us. I don't know very many moms who enjoy teaching grammar. I think maybe most of us did not have a good handle on grammar ourselves when we were in school, so we get intimidated really quickly. Well, don't. It's not that hard. Simply do this. Choose one sentence from God's Word every week. And as a family, analyze that sentence until you know the grammatical function of every single word. Now, I've got the steps for that listed in your handout, but let's just practice with a sentence right now. The sentence I picked, we're going to stick with Genesis 1:1 again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, the first step is to identify the prepositions and the prepositional phrases. If I wrote this sentence up on the whiteboard for my kids, we would put parentheses around the prepositional phrases. Now, how do your kids know what prepositions are? Well, at the beginning of every school year, we have a review few weeks, and we hang a chart of all 50 prepositions or so on our wall, and we just chant them every day until we know them. Kids love that kind of memorization, especially if you put a reward attached to it somehow. Okay, now, we've eliminated all the prepositional phrases, and this means you can ignore those parts of the sentences now. We don't have that eliminated quite a bit of our sentence. Now we're going to identify the sentence patterns. I'm going to go up here and show you another website. If you have no idea what a sentence pattern is, you can find help on my blog, or you could pick up a great resource that I have. It's published by Bob Jones University Press, and it's called The English Handbook. And this is getting to be an old book now, but it's a really good one. I hope they don't ever stop selling it. And it will explain all of these things to you. Now, in our sample sentence, we will mark God as the subject, created as the verb, heaven and earth are the direct objects, and we have very few words left. We're almost done. In this easy sentence, they are all modifiers, such as the heaven and the earth, and the word and is the conjunction, and we're done. We've done it. That's the sentence. We're going to use it that week. We've learned grammar, and next week we're going to do another one. Now, most Bible verses are a little more complex than that one, and you'll have to maybe label a subordinate clause or other complicated things. Now, kids are great. They learn so fast. They don't seem to get as worried about hard things as we moms do. If you just do one sentence a week, you will have plenty of time to figure out what you're doing and learn it along with them. But again, if you go to my blog, I'm going to put up the address real quick here. We have a whole bunch of resources here that will help you understand what to do. Now, I finish up by diagramming the sentence also. I put it up on the whiteboard for everyone to see. Actually, I have them do it. For more reasons on why I think diagramming is so important, because I just don't have time right now, or to learn more about this one-sentence approach, just go to my blog. Okay, now, what about using the Bible to teach spelling and vocabulary? I would begin by incorporating your spelling with your phonics instruction. I already told you about allaboutspelling.com or any other curriculum that you use. Most of them teach spelling right along with the reading skills. And as we are reading our Bible during phonics time each day, when we see a word that uses a spelling rule that we are learning in our spelling, I'll stop and point that out to my kids. Next, each child should have his own spelling notebook. My kids' notebooks have a page for each letter of the alphabet, and when they misspell a word in their other writing assignments or we see a word in our reading that we want to emphasize, we simply add it to their notebook. And the same goes with vocabulary words, and the Bible is so rich in vocabulary, you just don't want to miss that. And in no time, you'll create your own personalized program, and you'll have spent no money, which is great. Now, I also like teaching root words, prefixes, and suffixes to my kids, and I like the game Rummy Roots. It's a fun game we can play together, or we could even add Latin, Greek, Hebrew to our school day as separate subjects to help them learn the etymology of words. Once they understand where words come from, they can then go on to figure out the meaning and spelling of other unfamiliar words that they are going to encounter on their own in their reading. Okay, now, what about teaching our kids to write, to communicate God's message with their words? Now, if you think about it, this should be easy. Writing is just learning to talk slowly, right? If you can teach your kids to talk, you can teach them to write. It's just talking in slow motion. Now, writing improves when you study the writing techniques of good writers. Where can you get the best example of good writing in all of the world? Of course, in your Bible. So here are some ideas. First, don't forget to discuss what you read together from the Bible each day. Again, writing is slow talking, so discuss. God says talk about it. This is the most natural thing you can do, and it is the most effective thing. Then have your children tell back to you or narrate what they are learning from the Bible in their own words. And as they slowly talk, you could write or type their words onto paper. Then you read it back to them and let them discover the magic of having their thoughts recorded on paper forever. That is so much fun for a kid. Third, learn how a Bible passage is put together by outlining it together. All good writers know to make an outline before they try to write. And this is so easy to teach your children. Write the main points of your day's reading up on the whiteboard, then have the kids reverse it and try to put it back together again in written form by looking at the outline you've put there. Outlining teaches kids logic, legal concepts, deductive and inductive reasoning, thinking skills. You don't need to buy a fancy curriculum for this, do you? Now, you could go from broad to specific. Here's what I mean. Start by putting titles on the books of the Bible as you read them. What is the theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Then progress to giving titles to each chapter, such as when you're reading 1 Corinthians, chapter 13 would be labeled the love chapter, or Genesis 1 would be labeled creation. Later, you're going to begin adding titles to paragraphs. Now, don't let them cheat by looking at the labels that are included in the NIV or other modern translations. Make them come up with them on their own. Then, finally, because of what you're doing in grammar, have them diagram all the sentences in a paragraph. By the time you're done with this, your kids can certainly put it all back together again from the outlines they've created, probably word for word. Can you imagine all the other skills that they are learning in the process of this, too? And in addition, when you do it together, it's really fun. As you take writing apart, your students will see how it was constructed in the first place. And then just have them write a little of their own in the journal, a little every day, and you'll be amazed at the writers that will develop. If you need more help, I highly recommend a book that's called Writer's Ink. It's a great reference tool, and it could even stand as a textbook if you as mom need a little bit more help with writing. It's sold at Amazon, or here I have it at greatsource.com. Now, let's get a little harder. You can't use the Bible to teach math, can you? That seems impossible. Now, I'm not sure how far you can take this. I'm probably not the math expert here, but I think it can be done. However, first of all, what does the Bible teach us about math? Why are we even teaching math to our kids? Because the government tells us to? No. As your kids learn to excel at their math, they are going to learn so much about God. They're going to learn about the God of creation, that he's a God of order and systems and logic. They're going to learn that addition and subtraction facts teach us about the reality that God created. There's no fuzzy math with God. If there was fuzzy math, the ark would not have floated. Learn that there is always a right and a wrong answer. There are moral absolutes. God has no gray areas. Learning should be line upon line, precept upon precept. They need to learn to be precise and exact, or the temple would have fallen over when they built it. Learn that math always has an application to everyday life. Learn to memorize and recall facts quickly without having to think much, because this ability to memorize will go over into their ability to memorize God's word. They need to learn to finish a job with excellence and neatness, even when they don't feel like it. They need to learn to excel at everything they do, that God's family of believers are the very best at what they do, and that when they put their hand to something, they do it with all their might. Learn to be disciplined and obedient, and to always do what we want, what we are told to do, even when we would rather be playing with Legos or daydreaming. And finally, our kids need to learn to have dominion over the earth. God says in Genesis 1:28 that is one of the reasons he created us, and we need math skills in order to have dominion over his creation. I'll show you real quick the math curriculum that I like. My husband says I should get some compensation for this, but oh well. I really like a Becca book, math, and I know that I'm maybe in the minority here, but I have been impressed with their goals for math, and that they match mine. Now, math needs daily practice, and for this, I still use a ready-made curriculum like a Becca, and I really can't say enough good about them. I've used them now for many, many years, but every week, I try to find a story problem from the Bible for my kids to work on. Maybe I'll get around to publishing these one of these days so all of you could see what we've been using. But examples include the ark, figuring the size, the mass of it, the accuracy that they used, the tabernacle or the temple, timelines, ages of the patriarchs, calculate the size of people groups, The Fulfillment of Prophecy is a great place to find math, money, weights and measurements, the distances between two locations in the Bible. You know, my kids even come up with story problems. They think that's fun. They try to stump me, and I think that's great. Okay, next let's go on to history. I am so excited about this subject because I truly believe you can teach the entire history of the Bible just from, the entire history of the world just from your Bible. Now, to see God prophesy events and then to see his word come true instills so much confidence and trust in God. We learn not to worry and we learn that God is sovereign. Don't we need that confidence right now, especially with all the crazy things happening right here in our own United States and throughout the world? You know, the Bible's telling of history is true. And it includes geography, anthropology, government, timelines, even the history of all people groups of the world, such as those in China and South America. It's so thorough, and you never have to wonder if it's completely accurate. Psalm 145:5 says that when we parents speak of the glorious splendor of God's majesty, our children will meditate on God's wonderful works. History gives us an unparalleled opportunity to do this. There are several key Bible passages to concentrate on as you build a history curriculum. This is not hard. First, Genesis is pivotal, especially the Table of Nations that you'll find in Genesis chapter 10. Spend a lot of time here. Read through the entire Old Testament with your kids for an excellent overview of ancient history. The book of Daniel in chapter 4 tells of ancient Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and these would warrant at least a year of study all on their own. Finally, even though most believers see the book of Revelation as all future events, a common view throughout church history was to see it from an historicist perspective. This is new to me. I hope I even said that right. No matter what your own views on eschatology are, it's really fun to check out this ancient historicist viewpoint and use it to teach the history of the world from the time of Christ until the time that Christ returns again. Christine Miller is a homeschooling author who has written about this extensively on her blog. And you can scroll down her blog until you see her popular posts right in here and click on Revelation series. And she will walk you through this chapter by chapter. And I think it's just a great resource. Other good resources for your bookshelf are All Through the Ages. Let's see here if I've got it. There it is. It's a book also by Christine Miller. And then she also has a sample curriculum with read-aloud books and more at classicalhomeschooling.org. Let me go back to that one real quick so you can see that. And it's free. And this link is also in your handout. Ruth Beechick is a popular homeschooling author, and she has written extensively about world history. You can see some of her books, World History Made Simple. I also like Genesis, Finding Our Roots, and Adam and His Kin, and these are at mottmedia.com. And I also love curriculum by Diana Waring, and it is available at her website and also through the organization Answers in Genesis now, which I'm sure she's excited about now. Now I need to keep moving on to science. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." I'm going to go back real quick to Answers in Genesis. I would start with your kids with a solid base in creation. And one of my favorite resources is Answers in Genesis. They have so much, including now homeschooling curriculum. And then I start by teaching science to my elementary age kids by going in order of the days of creation. I just discovered a website this week, and so it is not in your notes, but hopefully you can see it on your screen. And I'm going to try to put it on my blog for those of you that are listening to this later. This is a kind of a long address if you're trying to write it down. But I would also encourage you to attend tomorrow's session by Lisa Lewis. She's going to be telling us how to do nature study with our kids and connect our children to God's creation. I have seen her handouts, and I'm really excited about that session. Another resource is a science curriculum written by Jeannie Fulbright for elementary children. And it's published by apologia.com. And she also goes in order of the days of creation, and she really emphasizes how God's hand in creation is visible. As your children get older, help them learn logical thinking by discovering the bad science behind evolution, the laughable bad science. After all, God tells us that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I really enjoy the videos by Exploration Films. They're called Incredible Creatures That Defy Evolution. They're wonderful. Other good resources to help your children defend creation and think logically would include the truthproject.org, and also Summit Ministries has an entire institute, curriculum, resources, amazing things, and that's at summit.org. Okay, finally, as you read through the Bible together, come up with a yearly science project that will be inspired by your reading. Actually, your kids should come up with this, not you. Have your kids include both a written and an oral report with their project, which is a great way to tie all the parts of their curriculum together, and it will build confidence in them in their Creator God. Doing a systematic project will help your children see that God is a God of order, and it will help them duplicate that order in their own education. Okay, finally, I'm going to wrap up our discussion today by talking about how we can apply both our educational and spiritual learning from God's Word to everything we do all day long. How do we apply God's Word with our children every hour of the day, both in and out of official school hours? Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Did you catch that? God wants to teach knowledge and doctrine to our children, not to someone in a seminary somewhere. Even our youngest children. That's amazing to me. We do it little by little, bit by bit, line upon line, precept upon precept. And as we said at the beginning of our session, you need to get personally excited about the possibilities in God's Word, and your excitement will be contagious. Next, be intentional. Talk about God with your kids all day long. I've said that a few times today. Your handout lists some of my favorite books and websites. I highly recommend that you check some of these out. Learn from these experienced mothers and see how they did it in their homes. And finally, live it in front of your kids. Be sure your actions match your passions. I have got many more resources for you at my website. I encourage you to come over and take a look. We've got even a free parenting book that you could download if you subscribe to our weekly newsletter, so be sure to take advantage of that. It's got lots of ideas in there. We've got a homeschooling website. We have curriculum for teaching the Bible and some other subjects, too. We've got an active blog, and you can comment and interact with other homeschooling moms there, and so much more. And that's AnnElliott.com, and remember, it's every letter possible. Okay, I'm going to hop over here to the webinar, and I'm going to see if there are any questions. I have not been paying any attention, so I'm going to hop up to the top here and see what I can come up with. Probably, and if you have any you're going to add, go ahead and start doing that now. So, let's see. Sorry I'm taking so long. If someone wants to hop in here, you feel free. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Boy, I'm slow. Okay. Sounds like we all do the same things by our curriculum way last spring. Let's see. Looks like there are lots of good resources. People are recommending some other books here. Some people use the English Standard Version. I forgot about that one. My husband really likes that one. There's a phonics program for headsprout.com. I've seen that. That is good. I was hoping some people would recommend some others. Okay, someone says to learn handwriting with some finger paint. Yeah. Talking about the King James Version, I think the King James Version is wonderful for teaching vocabulary, and I highly recommend it, but I also recommend using some other ones too. Okay, let's keep going down here. Bible, I think this is BibleTraditions.com. It's someone says it has fantastic videos about how history merges with the Bible, especially Revelation. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that one. And then, yes, heartofwisdom.com is an excellent website. I was remiss not to point that one out. That is very good. I got a new book yesterday in the mail from Amazon on how to use Revelation for teaching history. I can't even tell you if it's good yet. I haven't had time to open it, and I'm excited about it. Okay. If you need the handout, if you didn't catch the link at the beginning, you just go to my website. It's at the Heart of the Matter conference website. If you go to the speaker topic page and scroll down till you see my picture, and it says download the handout, or you can also go to anneelliott.com/HOTM.PDF, and that's another way you can get it. Okay. Oh, good. Someone put that in there. Let's see. The Truth Project. We've been doing that in our church and love it to pieces. Okay. We have Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation book by Dennis Peterson, and it's visually appealing, and this mom says she enjoyed reading it from cover to cover. Thank you very much. I have not read that one, so I'll have to check it out. Okay, a question. When reading directly from the Bible, do you skip over the more mature sections with your children? This is going to have to be something you discuss with your husband. Remember that he is the head of your home, and you want to make sure that you're doing what he would be comfortable with. But in my opinion, when I look at the Old Testament, I see that when they read the law each year at the Feast of Tabernacles, and you can look at the book of Nehemiah for an example of this, they made a point of reading Genesis through Deuteronomy out loud, and everyone would stand in respect for the reading of God's word, and they made a point of including the children. And I think that, to me, that means that we try to include it in our home. Now, our homeschooling Bible curriculum skips over it because we have an audience of people that would maybe not be comfortable with that, but in the independent reading that the kids do, they read all of it. But in our home, we have found that the kids don't blink an eye. It's just mom and dad that blush. And they need to learn it. They're going to see it on TV. They're going to hear it from their friends. And I'd rather they got it from God's perspective first. But that's my opinion. I'd like to see what some other people say. Second, what all is in your books? I think I got lots of books here. I have a couple different books. We have one called Juggling Life's Responsibilities that talks about the priorities of a woman. The first one should be God, and the second one should be her marriage. Third should be her children. Fourth should be her home, and fifth should be a ministry to the world. That's what that book is about. We also have a Bible curriculum and a PE curriculum that are designed to be used with a whole family all at once so that mom doesn't lose her hair and pull it all out in a busy day. And then we also have a parenting book that is on how to get preschoolers ready for school and how to teach them attention and responsibility and things like that. And we have a lot of books in the works right now. I'd love to be able to tell you about all of those, but I guess I have to keep a secret until they're done. So that's so far what we have. Let's see. It says, in your opinion, what age would you recommend starting a personal spelling notebook? My daughter is 4, but she's using a second grade language arts program that includes spelling words and doing wonderfully. But when would I start writing down the words she misspells? In her hundreds of notes she writes all day long to me, I would start right now. It doesn't really matter what age. When your child is writing a note and misspelling, that is the absolutely perfect time to take advantage of it. And that means you need to keep a notebook handy, or maybe put a little basket on top of the fridge for you to put the notes in. You could pull them out during school time and sit with her and hand them and put them into the notebook. But kids learn best in the context of real life. And I think that if she's doing all this right now, wow, let's, get going on it. And you'll find that they love that. They love to see how to spell things correctly. Kids want to do it right. And I'm speaking from experience here. I'm a terrible speller. And I used to write all kinds of notes to my mom. And anyway, she just laughed over my creative spelling. So I say start now. That's just fabulous that she's doing that so young. Okay. Let's see here. Question. Oh, I think that we got that already. Okay. The three books for Bible curriculum. Okay, that is what someone was wanting to know. What's in the Bible curriculum? Our Bible curriculum, the first year covers the Old Testament. The second year covers Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And the third year covers Acts from a different perspective and then goes on through the rest of the New Testament. So it just pretty much goes chronologically. And then hopefully start all over again in Genesis. Okay, it says, do you teach the Bible consecutively through year by year, or do you start from the beginning each year for the benefit of the younger ones? And do you make it through the whole Bible each year? We haven't been able to make it through yet. And even with the Bible curriculum, it's scheduled over 36 weeks, and we still don't make it through. We're slow in our house. We probably take a year and a half to get through, and a couple, four or five years to get through. And I don't worry about my younger ones. You know, they've been listening along since the beginning, and they seem to pick it up. And I have one son that couldn't remember who Isaiah was yesterday. And I thought, oh boy. But it's okay. We're going to get it again. And then as they get older, I have them reading independently through the Bible too. So I think they'll catch up. That's the best I can get it done. Someone says, what is the name of your book about preschoolers? Where can I find it? That's a freebie that we give away when someone signs up for our newsletter. That's the only way I have right now for you to get it. And if you don't want the newsletter, just go sign up and then unsubscribe again after you get the free book. I'll never know. Okay. Let's see. I think we are getting down to the bottom of questions and probably down to the bottom of my time, too, Amy. You've been really gracious. I was afraid I'd never get done today, and I so much appreciate you letting me come. I do see one more question real quick, if I just take it. It says, once a child begins to read books from the library, how many chapters or portions of Scripture would you have him read a day? Okay, my son, Andrew, it was in third grade last year, and he was just getting to the point that he could make it through a simple chapter book, maybe what, like sunlight.com would you know, have in their curriculum, like Charlotte's Web kind of level. And he was reading one chapter a day from the first five books of the Bible. He read Genesis through Deuteronomy the entire school year last year. So that kind of gives you an idea about how much, and he did not have any trouble with that at all. Now, my next daughter that's learning to read right now, she's kind of been slow learning to read, and she can only get through a few verses, so I don't even schedule it. We're still at the point where we read it together. My oldest son is going into eighth grade, and I give him, five or six chapters a day from the Bible. I figure I'm going to lay it on. He's never going to have this much time again in his life, and I want him to get it into his head. Okay, Amy, I don't see any other questions, and you do whatever you want to do here and take over if you would like. I appreciate all of your comments and encouragement, and you guys are like friends. Too bad I could have chatted with you the whole time.